All this month, we'll be introducing you to some extraordinary people, people who break bindings. We're calling them bound breakers. And they're coming up with new ways to solve some of the oldest problems of the world. For today's profile, we're taking you to an unusual boarding school for village girls in northern India. It is just after dinner, and the girls are playing clapping games, like girls all over, except that nearly half of these young girls are married. NPR's Nurit Eisenman brings us the story of the unlikely duo who founded the school, a young Indian man with a knack for computers and a much older Swiss aristocrat.
Hi. So can we sit down and chat?
Talk to the girls here, and you quickly get a sense of just how pervasive child marriage is in their villages. It's been illegal for decades in India. That's why I can't tell you any of the girls' names. But a bubbly 16-year-old tells me people ignore the law. Our parents just hold the weddings in secret, she says, at night, very rushed. She was married when she was 9 years old. A bunch of other girls nod. They were all married around that age, too. A shy girl in a pink t-shirt says she didn't even understand what was happening at the time.
How did you feel when you realized?
I was so sad, she says, because I had really wanted to study. And if you're a child bride, by age 15, you get sent to live with your husband, to basically become a servant to your in-laws. And yet, here all these girls are, hanging out in their dorm rooms, planning their dream jobs.
Teacher.
Police officer. Because the founders of this place, it's called the Virani Institute, and it's in the city of Jodhpur, have convinced the girls' parents to agree to a deal. The school offers free board and tuition. The parents promise to hold off sending the girls to their husbands until they've at least finished high school. And this remarkably effective strategy for changing these girls' fate is the product of a collaboration between two rather unlikely individuals, starting with a 78-year-old Swiss aristocrat named Jacqueline de Cholet. For her, the journey began with the purchase of a shawl.
A shawl, exactly.
The year was 1993, and de Cholet, then in her 50s, was vacationing in northern India. She stopped at a dusty village and saw a woman in a house weaving a shawl.
And she had three or four children, including a baby she was nursing in her arms, and she looked way older than her age.
So de Cholet offered to buy the shawl.
And as soon as I gave her the money, a man walked in and took the money away from her.
De Cholet was outraged.
I felt, this woman, nobody cares about her. She's off the map. She has no rights.
And de Cholet identified with this woman because for all her privilege, growing up in the 1950s,
my generation of girls did not go to university in Switzerland. We were sent to secretarial school and then expected to get married.
Which is what she had done and found it stifling. Now, by the early 90s, de Cholet had come into her own, gotten active with charities and women's rights groups. Still, it suddenly struck her that
who actually was going to do anything for that particular woman and the many women like her? Who was going to go on the ground and do something?
Then she thought, I am. She started small, raising money to bring basic health care to women in some villages. Then she shifted into education for girls. Village schools in northern India only go to fifth grade, and parents don't have a lot of money to spend on boarding school in the city. For boys, maybe. For girls, no way. And for de Cholet, this was all about helping women get power over their lives. It's hard to do that without education. So two things became clear. She was going to have to get the girls into a proper school in the closest city, Jodhpur. And she was going to need a really great partner from that region. She was based in London.
You cannot run a project from abroad. We needed to create a local leadership that could take the project to where it needed to go.
As it happened, de Cholet had her eye on a possible candidate.
Cool, Skype.
Hello. Hi, Mahendra. How are you?
How are you?
I'm fine.
The man de Cholet is calling is Mahendra Sharma. These days, they Skype all the time. But when they first met, Sharma was just a high school kid who was good with computers, a city guy from Jodhpur who de Cholet hired to help set up her group's email. his first impression?
So, yeah, I started and I remember very clearly, even not knowing anything about the internet.
Her first impression?
Well, he was very shy young man, quite, you know, self-effacing.
But then a more experienced man who Deshalet was working with to recruit girls to the new boarding school quit. That guy told Sharma that men in the villages were openly hostile to the idea.
So he said villagers are too aggressive, they have become crazy, and it's a very bad idea to bring girls here.
But Sharma figured if he could just sit with these fathers, talk it through. So night after night, he did, fielding questions like, why won't you just educate our sons?
Why you are taking girls? What's the point? They are not going to remain with us. They will go to their in-laws. And if they are over-educated, then it is very difficult for us to get groom for them.
Well, Sharma would say, with an education, a girl can get a job and bring money into the in-laws' house. In-laws would want that. By the end of that first recruiting effort, the fathers of 39 girls had come around. And Sharma, he decided this school was his calling.
As hard as it was, you could actually really make a difference.
Yes, you're right.
Today, parents beg to send their girls here. They have to turn away nearly 300 a year. And a few months ago, a group of fathers stunned Jacqueline Deshalet. They asked her, how about helping us put our girls through college?
I was just speechless. I thought it was so fantastic.
Best of all, she says, are the reports from the girls' mothers. When their daughters come home, they demand to be treated the same as their brothers, just as much food. They won't be pushed around. When Deshalet compares them to that woman with a shawl all those years ago, it makes her proud.
No way they're going to have their money taken away from them. No way. No way.
These girls, she says, they know their rights, and they're equipped to fight for them. Narit Eisenman, NPR News.